Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on spiritual, metaphysical, paranormal, and healing topics. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show. Welcome to the show. I'm Ivory Lanoux, and this is Rosalind Reynolds. Sedona's son will not be with us today. Just to let you know, today's topic is life in the afterlife. It's going to be very interesting, but before we dive into that, we want to say a special hello to our listeners in Bellflower, California. Thank you for being here week after week. We appreciate your support, and always remember, if there's a topic you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear about it. So let's jump into this. There are so many preconceived notions. There's movies, there's the Bible, there's movies, there's TV showing the afterlife. And I'll just tell you this, it's not floating around on clouds in white gowns playing harps. So that's not what's happening up there. Unless you're a harp player and you want to continue playing the harp on the other side, I plan to. But no, that's not how. And so through our work, Roz and I as mediums, we're talking to spirit all the time. And I know for me, it's not uncommon for a spirit to tell me or show me what they're doing on the other side. And it's so different for each one of them. Have you found that to be true, Roz?
Very true.
I think we make our own afterlife. We create our vision of heaven.
I think there are many things that influence how our adventure in the afterlife goes.
Yeah, I know many times one of the kind of repeating themes is showing me the people that they're with. And sometimes they're all sitting down to a big dinner around a big table. And I wouldn't even associate food with the afterlife, but they'll show me that kind of frequently. Have you ever seen that, Roz?
I can't say that comes to mind, but I do think that we have, very specific concepts of certain things. So it makes sense.
I don't know if it's meant to be literal that we're all sitting down, like it'll be family members and family friends and sitting down around a table, if that's meant to be literal or if that's just them showing they're with these people, but they do show that to me pretty frequently. And another thing is they'll show me the activities they're doing. They're like, show me they're fishing or they're boating or they're hiking or dancing, just all kinds of things. And that's why I think what you love to do in your life, you'll probably love to do in the afterlife too.
I think that's probably accurate. You know, that you have certain specific activities, behaviors, et cetera, that you participate in.
What are some activities you've seen or things you've seen a lot in readings?
Well, this wasn't in readings, but when my brother passed away, it was amazing to me because I would see him quite a bit after he left, and he was never doing anything that he liked to do that I could remember when he was with us, except music. There was always, he was very talented musically, and he loved music. And that was the one thing I remembered was I would awaken after, I'd go to sleep and I'd awaken and I could hear him playing the piano. He had a very distinctive piano style and he was very gifted. I mean, he could just play anything by ear.
I admire that.
Play by ear. Well, it was just so ironic because some nights I would wake up and he'd maybe been gone a couple of years. And I ended up moving into the house that he owned through, you know, a long list of interesting things. But he was delighted because he wanted me to move into his home and raise his my children there and have, you know, we had the original piano he had. And I would awaken sometimes at night and I would hear him playing the piano.
Oh, I love and that.
You could hear it through the whole house. It was a three-story house. And it would be so ironic because my ex-husband would wake up too and he'd hear it and he'd go, is that Tom? I said, yep. Giving us a serenade. He goes, okay. You just go back to sleep.
Concert continues.
Yeah. It was really interesting. So I think those were specific things. But the other thing that was really funny was when I was a little kid, there was a gap in age between my brother and I of 11 years. And I loved to be outdoors and I loved to go fishing. And he could have cared less. And it was so funny because I would awaken and I would see him fishing. And he'd be going, come over. Come here. I'd be laughing. Just couldn't process it.
That kind of thing makes me think, like, you know, if they're doing things on the other side you didn't ever see them doing in their lifetime, maybe it's a past life passion, you know, multiple past lives. Or, you know, it's kind of like when people retire, they have time to explore and try new hobbies and new experiences. So when you're in the afterlife, you don't have a job to show up at. So that's a good time to explore all kinds of different things you haven't tried before. So it could be either one of those, really. They don't usually tell me. They just show me.
Another thing I remember him doing was he loved to cook. And he was a really good cook. And he loved to have dinner parties, have people over, get the whole house just looking amazing, all the crystal, the china, everything. And it would just be amazing. I would awaken and I wasn't on the same floor where the kitchen and dining room were. I was on the top floor. And I would awaken and I could smell the things that he used to love to cook. And I would just be like, oh. And he'd, you know, I'd hear the glasses tinkling and the noise and a laughter. And I would think to myself, okay, he's having a dinner party.
And it makes you wonder who's in attendance to that. All his friends who crossed, like, relatives who crossed. Pretty funny. Oh, my goodness. There's just so funny sometimes, these things. And, you know, I know a lot of people still think that when they die, they become an angel. And, you know, you can't become an angel. So, but you can wear a halo if you want. You could have wings if you want on the other side, because I've seen all kinds of things. And, you know, what's really funny is, I don't know why, but men, the spirits of men tend to like to show me their hair and their shirts. And I don't know what it is with that, but I'm like, okay, well, I will pass that on. And so they're wearing clothes on the other side. You know, they've got clothes on. They're going about things. I've seen plenty of spirit gardening, you know, working out in their garden, whether it's flowers or vegetables, you know. So it's hard to say whether that's actually happening or they're showing that as a sign that I loved gardening when I was alive. We don't always know. We just show these things and we hear things and feel things and see things, but we don't always know exactly what it is they're trying to say. We just have to pass it on. It's kind of funny. I know I've never had a near-death experience. Have you, Roz?
Well, I had some illnesses that I nearly died from.
Did you have a near-death experience?
I didn't have anything, the near-death experience that, you know, is expected, I think.
I did not have one either, but I'm never going to forget the session I had. I was still working at the center where Roz and I met in Sedona. It was my first year there, and one of my first readings there, really, mediumship, and it was a very elderly lady came in, real sweet woman, and it turns out her husband had passed a few days earlier, and he really wasn't strong enough to do a reading. And at that time, I hadn't experimented with having angels come in to lend energy, kind of like to battery strength to build it up, which works real well. So it was just him. And he really I couldn't hear him. I couldn't see what he was trying to show me. And so it was like he took my face gently and like turned my face. And when he did, all of a sudden, I saw the afterlife. And it was like I saw through his eyes what he was seeing. And I'll never forget it. There's actually some wonderful paintings and depictions online of what I saw, which was it was an outside scene. And there was such vivid colors, but weird things like turquoise grass and hot pink clouds and, you know, orange mountains, you know, so there's very vivid colors. And it was gorgeous, but it was neon colors and not natural to our world here on Earth. The other thing was there was little bits of something white floating through the air, and it wasn't cottonwood, because even then I'm thinking, is that cottonwood? Because we live, you know, cottonwoods right here. They're all over the place certain times a year, but it wasn't that. And I could hear angels singing, and it got louder and louder. And I always describe it. It sounded like thousands of angels. And I'm a singer, and I've sung in choirs, and as growing up, you know, I was classically trained. It sounded like thousand part harmony, which exists. I don't even know how to describe that. Like harmonies we don't even have, that felt so good to listen to. And just like I felt like my heart opened. And then I realized that the air, it felt like the air I was breathing, I would say was love, like you're breathing love. And so I was there. It felt like 3 minutes, and I looked around. And then boom, I was back in my office in Sedona, and I had tears rolling down my face, and the woman wanted to know what happened. So I told her, and then she started crying, and she said, oh, thank you. Thank you. He knows that I have been so afraid of dying, and I was worried that there's not really an afterlife. And he showed you exactly what I needed to know. So I felt terrible. I felt like it wasn't a good reading because, you know, he wasn't strong enough. I couldn't read anything. And yet he found a way to get her that exactly the message she needed to receive. And she was just happy as a clam. So, and for me, it was a life-changing moment. You know, I just can't get that out of my head. It was like I was suddenly standing in the afterlife, not in Sedona. And boom, I'm back in my body in Sedona. So, I don't think it was 3 minutes long, because she said it seemed like not even a minute, but it felt longer to me. So I'm sure that there's those of you listening out there who've had some experiences of your own, or you know somebody who has. A lot of children now, these rainbow children, what are they called? The diamond children? Is that what they're calling them, Roz?
Oh.
We were calling them multicolor, but it's really just the newest generation of indigo children that are more spiritually advanced. And a lot of them are remembering their life in the afterlife, their life between. And they're bringing it forward. They're born with the memories of the afterlife, and they're just very believable. You can watch some of those videos on YouTube about that, and I think it'll touch your heart as well.
Yeah. They have amazing stories that they have on where children remember everything that happened during their previous lives, when they passed, everything.
Yeah, they'll talk about being with their angels in the afterlife, and talk about choosing their parents. And, you know, I'm actually going to be talking about that on the Angel Room coming up in a couple weekends about choosing your parents before your birth. They talk about that. And it was actually one of those videos that inspired that topic, because we don't really talk about that very much. We hear about it, but we don't talk about it too much. So there's a whole lot of things that are coming forward. And I think it's not an accident that it's happening at this chaotic time in the world, that we need to hear, you know, the afterlife is real, and that you are going to a beautiful place. And it's nice that these children can come forward in their innocence and tell us what they remember in great detail, and in language that's pretty astounding sometimes. You know, how those kids can be, where they're like 70-year-old gurus in a 7-year-old's body. I've had them sitting in my office, and I'm just astounded, just amazed at these children's spirituality at such a young age. Anything else that's come up in your mediumship readings, Roz, that you can remember about the afterlife?
I had one session. Was just amazing. I was referred to these clients whose daughter had drowned, and she was quite young. She was about 7. And they came in and they said, we want to know where she is, because they were present when she drowned. You know, this was a whole family experience that they went through. And the moms and the aunt said to me, well, we just want to know where she is and what she's doing. And immediately I saw her, and she was in a beautiful field of flowers, just gorgeous, all kinds of flowers, all kinds of colors, and big trees, you know. And this was just the most beautiful outdoor environment. And she was sitting and she was playing with a bunch of little bunnies. There was a mama bunny and then all the baby bunnies, and they were all running around and playing with her, and she was talking to them and petting them. And it was so clear. It was like I was watching it in a movie. And they immediately started crying, because they said, you know, she loved nature, she loved the outdoors, she loved flowers, and she loved bunnies. And it was just a really wonderful experience for me and for them, because we all realized that she'd gone to the place of her dreams, and she was just enjoying that and spending her moments there talking with the bunnies.
My afterlife is going to have fields of flowers and lots of puppies. I've already made up my mind.
Puppies are always fun.
Yes. Oh my goodness. You know, I do have a few clients and friends who've had near-death experiences, and quite a few of them have very vivid memories of cities in the afterlife. They saw these crystalline cities that were really tall, beautiful spheres and shapes you don't see in buildings here on Earth, and really like made out of crystal, and just these beautiful, huge cities. And they saw a lot of people walking around. I did not see that, but there's quite a few reports of that same thing from different people who haven't talked to one another. So I do know there's cities in the afterlife. And also the other interesting thing is, clearly you can choose what the scene is like in your afterlife, because I've had clients, spirit, they're not my clients, they're the ones I'm reading, not reading four, but spirit show me that they're living in a cabin at the side of a lake. They're showing me a cabin at the base of the mountains. They're showing me a little house on a beach, you know, all kinds of different settings. And then the person who's there for the reading will say, oh, we had a mountain cabin, or they always loved fishing, or they always wanted to retire to lake and they didn't get to do that. So, you know, whatever's in your heart that's like the perfect setting for you, you get to create in the afterlife. And I think that's so wonderful.
It is, for sure.
Let's face it, one person's paradise is not everybody's. Ross and I are ocean girls. We are very much ocean girls. But there's other people who would prefer different settings. So no matter what it is you like, you can do that. And so, oh, you know, we should talk about too, like, I wouldn't say people have jobs on the other side, because having a job intimates you're getting paid. But I will say there's a lot of spirit that talks about having a task on the other side. And sometimes they're helping children. Sometimes they're easing in other people who died suddenly or by a suicide that needed help. There's a lot of different things. You know, have you heard about that, Roz, or client, any spirit talk about that?
I've heard my clients feel like their loved one was in that situation. So I think there's so much variation, and there's so many different frequencies, you know, that we can be in and connect with those we loved, you know, along as we went down the path of our life. It's a wonderful thing.
It seems like the spirits who were really attuned to spirituality, who were bright lights in life and knew where they were going, they seem to get a task quickly. And then the other ones that need some time to heal, to settle in, to adjust, they don't get a task right away. So they can be with family and friends more often. They can visit more often. And then they might start tapering off because they have tasks to do. And I found that very interesting, because I'd never given that any thought till I did this professionally. I never did. I just thought you had recreational time on the other side.
It's a nice thought.
It's more like what you have a passion to do, what you have a talent to do, not some grudging office job. But the other thing is that there is healing on the other side. And I've heard that quite a lot from spirit, that they're either, angels will tell me the person is in healing and they can't come through for a reading, or they'll come through and say they've been in healing. And inevitably, it's somebody who committed suicide or died in a really sudden accident that just really wasn't mentally prepared for crossing. Do you have experience with that, Roz?
I would say only, you know, from the standpoint that there have been times when a client has come in and I know that what they're seeking is to know that their loved one is in a perfect place, whatever that is, whatever their idea of that is. And, you know, it's difficult for people to realize and to process that their idea of perfect, and we go back to, you know, our loved ones. I mean, maybe their idea of perfect isn't exactly the same.
Absolutely.
You know? So, 100%. But I feel like when we are able to let go, when, you know, we've come to the end of our time and here, and we're able to let go and we release any need or any focus or whatever we need, whatever is sent, is the right thing for us it's a good thing. And it's the right thing for those we love, too.
Another thing that comes through that really blew me away the first time, it was back at the center where Roz and I met, where we worked together. And a lady came to see me, and another friend of mine there had tried to read for her and couldn't get anything. It was a mediumship, and she sent her to me. And right away, there was a little girl who came through, about 3 years old. And the woman started crying, and she's like, yes, yes. And the little girl said, don't feel bad. I knew what was going to happen, and I am fine. And I volunteered for this because I love you. And it turns out that that little girl had been aborted. And I was kind of embarrassed. Like, I felt like this, you know, private thing had come up in this reading that she didn't ask about. But she's like, that's exactly, you know, what I wanted to hear. I needed to know, you know, that spirit was okay. That, you know, it's been on my mind because it happened when she was really young. And she just needed to know. And the same has been true for children that died in stillbirth, that died miscarriages, that died shortly after birth. These children, it seems like they continue growing up on the other side, and they knew it was going to happen. They knew that they were going into that lifetime to be miscarried. And it's interesting. Like, I would have never thought of that. It's been so educational, so eye-opening to do this work, because probably the average person would never encounter anything like this, you know? I don't know. So, Roz, have you ever had anything like that happen? Any of these babies coming through?
I've had a couple of situations where it was kind of a situation where I could see the parent there. Mm-hmm. I could see the child in baby form, the spirit of the baby next to her. And it was very obvious that that life did not go forth, you know, that it ended for whatever reason. But it was interesting, the times when I was shown that, because one time happened to be a situation in my family, which I had never been aware of. I had never been aware that this relative of mine had lost her baby. And the baby had been born, but then became ill and didn't survive. And I think the heartbreak, you know, experiencing being there, experiencing that with the mother was kind of an eye-opening situation, I think, for me. I can remember just sitting there and just being able to tap into that emotion of how she felt when her baby passed, and there was nothing she could do. She'd done everything medically possible to try and save the baby. And I think, you know, all these situations are so different, but like unexpected. That was the thing that really hit me. I was like, this is so unexpected. I mean, I was never aware of this my whole life.
Yeah. Things will come up that you just wouldn't think about.
Yeah.
And so we learn a lot through these readings, but it's not like we know what's going to happen in a reading. Very often there's some real surprises for all of us. And that whole thing makes me think about something that happened with my daughter and myself when she was pregnant the first time. And I had three dreams where a little boy came to me. He's really cute. He was like 3 or 4 years old, short, light brown hair, really cute little face. He had my daughter's little pointed chin. And he said his name was Tyler. And he hugged me, and he was my grandson. And I don't have any grandchildren then. So it was just so wonderful. And we just spent time. It was very, very vivid, like a dream visitation, three times. And then the baby died inside her during the pregnancy. So that baby was never born. And afterwards, probably 2 or 3 years after that, I told my daughter about the dreams. And she said, "Wait, what did you say his name was?" And I said, "Tyler." And she just went pale. I went, "What?" She goes, "We were going to name him Tyler." And they had never told me. We never talked about names or anything. So I think it helped her to know, like, what this child looked like. And it's interesting because he looks a lot like my youngest grandson does, Mason. It's a lot like him. So he definitely would have fit in with the boys. But I'm sure every family, you know, has a loss. And usually families, women can keep this very quiet and private because it's so painful, you know, losing a baby in any way, losing a child in any way. And so very often they don't come to a reading asking about these children. And yet the children take that opportunity to come forward and tell you, "I'm fine. I'm still, you know, I'm here spiritually. I'm doing fantastic in the afterlife. You know, I'm, you should not feel guilty. Do not feel, you know, shame and all those things." They want their mother to be happy again. They want their mother to let that go. So, Roz, do you have anything else you want to add to this today?
I just think it would be helpful to people. You know, we have these rigid concepts of what is. And a lot of those things are things that are told to us by the culture and the society and everything. But I think those really rigid ideas are not usually always applicable. They're just ideas that people get.
Yeah. And they
feel that, you know, that's the way it should be, quote unquote.
That's the way it is. But we have surprises all the time. If you have questions about this, you can always send them to us at the email that's in the show description. You've been watching the Sedona Soul Sister Show. If you'd like to know more about us or our services, please visit our website, SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss a thing, and like us because it makes us happy. Tune in next Friday. The topic is code of consciousness, and that is about the angel number 1111. It is a really powerful number. And I got to tell you, I came home from my trip to Chicago and checked my stats on my podcast, and I was at 11,101 and one download. So it was 11111. I took a picture of it. It's like, and surely it didn't last very long. So we hope that you have an enlightening week. We'll see you next Friday.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.